Good morning and welcome to Old South Church in Boston. Welcome visitors and friends, old timers and newcomers. Welcome lost and found, seeker and skeptic, whatever your age, whatever your hue, whatever your body is like or who you love, welcome to church. Welcome back. Welcome home. Welcome in from the storm. We are so glad you are worshiping with us today. This church, based in community, if not in a building right now, is open because our hearts are open. Planted in Boston, but branching out all over the globe, we are worshiping together all over God's good creation. We would love to learn more about who you are and say hello, so whether this is your first time worshiping with us or if you are a weekly attender, viewing right now or sometime catching up later, fill out our virtual friendship pad. A link is in the comments. Click it, copy and paste it into your browser, fill it out, and introduce yourself. We are glad you are here today. And here's my promise to you. If you listen with your heart, you will hear the very word of God today. If you sit up and strain, if you will but try, you will feel the love of God today. If you lift up your voice in song, if you lift your voice and let it go, you will make glad the heart of God today. So welcome to church, church. Let us pray. Lord of mustard seeds and yeast, we come to you this day seeking your word and will for our lives. Make us people who care deeply for others. Give us courage to be yeast for the rising of hope and peace throughout the world. Open our hearts to your redeeming love, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Hello, 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 kids. How is everybody doing? I miss seeing you in person, but glad to have you in church today. Jesus says that we are like trees that produce fruit. How many of you like fruit? Raise your hand if you like fruit. And what's your favorite fruit? Just go ahead and yell it out. Bananas, cherries, oranges, apples, lemons, pears. I happen to know that Bohemian waxwings love fruit, especially cranberries. Did you know there are about 2,000 different kinds of fruit in the world? That's a lot. I'm sure that all of you know where we get fruit, right? Fruit grows from trees and shrubs, from seeds that grow into trees. Well, what if you were to plant a tree, an apple tree, in your garden, and you watered it, and you took care of it, and it never produced any apples? Oh, no. It wouldn't be much good as an apple tree, would it? Jesus told a story about how we are like trees. God has planted us on this earth, and God wants us to produce fruit. Not like apples or oranges, a different kind of fruit. I bet you know what kinds because you've been studying this in church school, haven't you? Now watch as Old South Church member and artist Pam Roberts paints the kind of fruit God wants us to produce. Fruit like love, joy, peace, generosity, self-control, patience, kindness, gentleness. These kinds of fruit are as good for the world as apples and oranges are for your bodies. Do you think you can produce this kind of fruit? I think you can. Jesus wants to care for us and help us to bear these good fruits. If we trust in him, read his word, and pray, he will help us to produce a lot of good fruit. Thank you, artist Pam Roberts, for putting into pictures what Jesus taught us with words. Children, will you pray with me? Dear God, help us to have the kind of fruit in our lives that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and let everybody say, Amen.
Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus put before them another parable.
The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened.
Thanks be to God.
Good things come in small packages. Large streams from little fountains flow. tall oaks from little acorns grow. There are no small parts, just small actors. You know those phrases. They are written on coffee cups and needlepoint pillows, reminding us that small things can lead to greatness. The Bible is filled with examples of how God uses small things to accomplish something grand, big. What starts as a simple garden flourishes into a mighty creation. A scrawny shepherd is anointed king. A baby brings salvation. And today, two parables, the mustard seed and the yeast, appear to teach the same lesson. The kingdom of God starts very small, but like how a tiny seed bursts into a mighty tree, or like how a little yeast causes the loaf to rise, the kingdom of God is going to grow. God will transform smallness to greatness, make extraordinary from the ordinary. And all of that is pretty great and true. But by now, after 3 weeks of parables, you and I know Jesus rarely speaks that plainly. To that first century crowd, the idea that the kingdom of God would be like a mustard seed or like yeast would rarely be a welcomed metaphor. Pliny the Elder, a first century Roman historian with the best name, wrote that mustard, with its pungent taste and fiery effect, is extremely beneficial for the health. But it grows entirely wild. When it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it, as the seed, when it falls, germinates at once. What Pliny is telling us is that the mustard plant, which grows to be a bush, not a lofty tree, is invasive, quick to sprout, and can have dangerous qualities. Those first century farmers knew that if that plant found its way into your perfectly planted garden, the plant would destroy everything around it. And if you were to plant it for health benefits, as Pliny suggests, it would require careful monitoring. In fact, Jewish law provided strict instructions that if you were to plant mustard, it was to be far from any other plants so that the mustard would not corrupt the others. Simply put, whether it is carefully cultivated or let to roam wildly, the mustard plant will soon become like a creeping ivy, taking over anything in its path. And, as it turns out, yeast contains that same sort of unexpected twist. While in the early days of the pandemic, we all clamored to buy yeast from the market, first century bakers would know yeast as a symbol of corruption. In their day, in their hot, dry desert day, bread kept longer when it was unleavened, flat, without yeast. So to add rising power, to add yeast to flour, would render it corrupted, useless. The bread would quickly age and it would rot. One scholar noted that to say something is like yeast in the first century is akin to saying it is like rust. So the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like an unruly plant and like rust. The kingdom, the reign of God, it's invasive, Jesus said. It is insistent, corrupting, and perhaps a bit annoying. Now, it may sound a bit unsettling and uncomfortable to imagine God's peaceable, loving kingdom as an invasive weed or a spoiling agent, but to those first century listeners, this is good news. Living under the crushing thumb of the Roman Empire, Jesus is telling them that God's kingdom is going to destroy the way of Caesar's kingdom. Jesus is telling them that God's kingdom is going to be like a mustard bush, unstoppable and relentless as it disturbs the status quo of Rome's carefully planted garden. God's kingdom is going to be like yeast that spoils flour used to bake Rome's oppressive power. God's kingdom, God's reign, is urgent, shocking, abundant. And for those first century disciples, this weed-like kingdom, this leavened reign, this is good news. Now, to be clear, what Jesus is not describing is the kingdom as a finished project. He's not describing some far-off place where everything is just and perfect. Jesus is not describing the what, but the how. How the kingdom, how the reign of God unfolds. How it accomplishes God's mighty deeds. And I have to say, I'm on board. I'm ready to join in God's sneaky, subversive, disruptive kingdom building. I'm ready to sow those mustard seeds and scatter that yeast so that God's reign can begin to germinate and grow, rise and corrupt. Because let's be honest, you and I know there are a lot of gardens out there that need to be disrupted. They are neatly planted and well maintained. Their roots are deep, and they have been protected at the highest cost. And the soil in which they grow is rich in the ways of power and privilege. But God is sowing the seeds of justice and change, and they are beginning to sprout and spread, flourishing and threatening those ways of the world that stand in opposition to God's reign. That unruly mustard plant, that corruptible yeast, it's what St. John Lewis would call good trouble, necessary trouble. John Lewis, who died last week at the age of 80, dedicated his life to this disruptive holy work. And don't be fooled by watered-down tellings of his life. John Lewis was an agitator. And like the plants in God's reign, impatient. He sat in and stood up, spoke out, and refused to be silenced. His advice to young people, really, his advice to us all, was to get into good trouble. Get in the way, stay in the way, disrupt and demand. To be God's seeds, bursting and spreading the ways of God. You, church, you are those seeds germinating and starting to crack open, unleashing the reign of God now. And I've seen it. Those bursting seeds look a lot like our rallying for police reform. It looks like those calls and tweets and emails that flooded the State House over the past few weeks, demanding comprehensive police reform. And just beginning to do the work of honoring Black lives. It's the kingdom of God. Bursting seeds that look a lot like our all-church read. A whole community cracking open how to be an anti-racist. And corrupting those deeply rooted notions about race that many of us have long held. The kingdom of God. Bursting seeds that look a lot like white Christians from this church gathering in small groups to reflect on their own racism and to hold each other accountable. The kingdom of God. Mustard. Yeast. Good trouble, necessary trouble. It's about disrupting the orderly. Stirring up resistance, uprooting long-held beliefs, and corrupting the soil in which the status quo grows. All in the pursuit of God's reign of justice and dignity. So yes, God makes the extraordinary from the ordinary, something grand from something small. But also like an unrelenting weed, or like spoiling yeast. God is using us to bring about God's invasive, disrupting insistent rain. And that is good news. Amen.
Will you pray with me? God of the morning, God of the evening, God of the long summer day, you in whom all creation finds its fulfillment, in whom every hour is open to eternity, we come before you grateful for the varied joys and blessings of our lives, for the beautiful things your hand has fashioned in the ways of earth and sea and sky, for the goodness of neighbors and family, of friends, colleagues, and strangers who open hearts and hands to one another. We are grateful for the usefulness of work and for the pleasures of rest and leisure. We thank you for artists and art who transform words and ideas into images and help us to see the world as if with new eyes. Above all, we give you our astonished thanksgiving for the giving, revealing, and expressing of your own self in the one in whose name we gather, Jesus, lover of the unloved, healer of the ill, weaver of parable and story, multiplier of food, sender of the 70, conqueror of death. And we pray, O God, for those for whom we have often had many words but too few prayers, with leaders of nations and with the nations themselves, that they may find sure guidance in tasks and trials too great for men and women alone. Be with the young who spend long summer days on city streets in Boston and elsewhere, with too much time and too little support. O God, be with those who lift life's cross without bitterness or complaint, and with those who may falter beneath it, finding it heavier than their strength. We remember especially those known to us and dear to this community of faith: David, Alice, Natalie, Ed, Peter, Karen, Kathy, Jim, Jess, Sonia, Glenn, Lynn. And we celebrate with Phil and Anne and Jen and Lauren the love they have found in each other. We pray for our leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement, that they may know strength, courage, and wisdom. We pray for hospitals and medical personnel overcome with a pandemic that has changed the world. We pray for this nation in this moment of national reckoning. Grant to us the will to turn sentiment into justice, ideas into policy, and feelings into equity. We pray, finally, for the healing of your fragile, beautiful earth, imperiled by human hubris and disregard. For the sake of earth and air, creatures, critters, and plant life, turn us from users and abusers into stewards, from consumers into guardians. And finally, in the words that Jesus himself has taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And let the people say, Amen.
In his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, Ibram X. Kendi writes, "The only way to undo racism is to consistently identify it and describe it, and then to dismantle it. But sometimes it can be hard to know just how to do that. At Old South Church, we believe that working to dismantle racism within ourselves, within our institutions, and within society is a Christian calling. We also believe that while the separation of church and state is important, the gospel is political. When we follow Jesus, we commit to using what power we have to dismantle racism, to provide support to those most in need, and to safeguard God's beautiful and fragile creation. One way to do that? Vote! Maybe you received your application to vote by mail this week. We want everyone to be able to cast their vote and stay safe. So please consider completing your vote by mail application. The due date for applications for the primary is August 26th. Also consider joining us for our Community Hour Forum on August 9th, focused on the faithful vote. Another way to take collective action is through your support of Old South Church. When you give today, you are helping to support the most vulnerable in our communities through the work of City Mission, bolstering the advocacy efforts of the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, and standing behind our Climate Crisis Task Force. With our giving, we lift a prayer to the God of transformation and make tangible God's love in the world. To give, hover your cursor over the video, click or copy and paste the link in the chat feature, or head over to oldsouth.org/donate. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, receive these our gifts. May all of these blessings grow and multiply, spreading throughout our lives, our communities, and the wide world, to usher in your vision of beauty, justice, and mercy for all people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join us immediately following worship for our virtual community hour, which includes a sermon talkback, a casual coffee hour, and the forum. This is a chance to connect and say hello. A link to all of the Zoom rooms is posted in the chat feature. Click it or copy and paste it into your browser at the end of the service, and we'll see you there. Go forth today, people of God, as mustard seed and yeast, growing, rising, disrupting, and spreading that good news through word and deed of the one who comes to free the world, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Committee is challenging the whole church.
The whole church.
The whole church.
To read Ibram X. Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist.
The Church Council endorses the challenge of the Christian Formation Committee. Read the book.
I'm reading it. I'm reading it aloud to Nitro. Pay attention.
I read it. As a librarian and your church historian, it's my professional opinion that you should read this book.
I'm reading it.
I read it. Kendi argues it's not good enough to say, I'm not a racist.
In fact, the very phrase, I'm not racist, probably means you are a racist.
Jesus said, if you are not with me, you are against me.
If you are not an anti-racist, if you are not with and about anti-racism,
then you're for it, or you're okay with it, which is the same thing.
Don't be okay with it. It's not okay to be okay with racism.
It's about being proactive, active, speaking up, acting out, making change.
It means doing some real analysis, some soul searching, and studying the social dynamics of power.
It's not an easy read.
It's not an easy read, but it's an important read.
Old South Church, read the book.
Read Ibram X. Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist.
How to Be an Anti-Racist.
And if you don't have one, borrow someone else's.